It started as a day of remembrance. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump arriving at the 9/11 memorial just after 8 this morning to never forget the fallen. But then, an hour and a half later, an abrupt departure. Clinton leaving the ceremony early without explanation. Then, late today, Clinton's pneumonia diagnosis was announced.
That is desperately needed aid, especially in besieged areas like Aleppo, something that has not happened in weeks. So people say they want to see that, but they are very skeptical of the Russians. They are skeptical of the regime. They're just skeptical of all parties in this conflict really abiding by this cessation of hostilities.
Over the past few weeks, we've seen users uploading pictures and video to social media of these phones seemingly exploding and burning while they were charging. Samsung says they know of 35 cases of this, and now they're taking the unprecedented step of recalling nearly 2.5 million of these units.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday. It is September 12th, 2016, 5:10 in the morning. Welcome to another business day. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. We have lots to talk about for you today here on the program. We have more, of course, on politics. A new app out there says it can predict the presidential election. We'll talk to the CEO of that company and tell you a little bit more about that. It's been getting a lot of press lately. Also, we'll keep you posted on all the very latest numbers. And coming up in a moment, our CEO spotlight of the day focuses on an organization that's helping people find help, those most desperate finding help, and they're using a text message to do it. We'll tell you all about it after first we check the WGN market desk this morning. Dow futures are already off more than 100 points, off 119 points this morning. The NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. It appears to be another day of jitters in the markets as the investors both here and abroad are looking at the central bank here in this country, the Federal Reserve, about whether or not interest rates will go up. It's appearing more and more likely that could happen before the end of the year, although most bettors are betting against that. This morning, Asian stocks tumbled as investors reacted to comments last week from the Fed official who really caught the markets off guard by saying interest rates could rise soon. Generally, a dovish member of the Fed telling investors in a speech that it looks like there might be an increase coming sooner than later. The markets on Friday lost nearly 400 points or nearly 2% of their volume. U.S. benchmark crude oil this morning up about $45 a barrel. The dollar slipped against the yen and the euro overnight. Economists today say growth is expected for two more years. Business economists still think the economy will continue to grow, but they again have scaled back their expectations for just how much. The median estimate for economists surveyed by the National Association of Business Economics calls for gross domestic product of 1.5% this year. The Fed had said it wanted a 2% growth before it decided to raise interest rates. Have you ever needed help and you've been desperate enough to not know where to find it, to just sit and wonder? Have you ever gone to find help only to stand in line forever and then get to the front of the line and figure out you're not eligible? There's a company, a group in Chicago that's trying to help. It's called M Relief. They provide an easy-to-use platform online and through phone, through SMS. Remember that? Most smartphones use text messaging, but the old smartphones, the old phones, use that primitive technology that some people still use. A lot of people around the world still use. And it is helping people find out whether they're eligible, pointing them in the right direction. And today we're happy to profile the CEO of this corporation and co-founder, Rosie Alfrie, who is with us today on the two-year anniversary of this organization called M Relief. And Rosie, first, welcome to the Opening Bell. And I would say, I guess, first off, congratulations and a happy anniversary.
Rose, let's start off by, first of all, happy anniversary. This is the two-year anniversary of M Relief. It must be an exciting time for your organization.
Absolutely. We are so humbled by the number of families we've been able to reach. As of this moment, we've reached more than 60,000 households across the country by connecting them to social services in America.
Give us a sense of what it is that your mission is and what you do.
So our mission is to restore dignity by transforming access to social services. And to that end, we are bringing 21st century technology to social services delivery. And we have built an easy-to-use platform on web and text messaging for low-income Americans to find out if they qualify for the most important social services, such as food stamps.
So give us a sense of how that works.
So basically, you simply can go to our text messaging platform, and that's at 844-877-6111, and simply text your zip code, and we will get the process started to help you understand whether you qualify for the food stamp program. And this number is live in 42 states in the United States of America.
And so you would get a text message in return that says, yes, you are qualified.
Yes. So we help people find out if they qualify for food stamps by texting them 10 simple questions, which take less than 5 minutes to answer.
So what about people that don't have access to a mobile phone?
So essentially what we've been able to do is we've built partnerships with the public library system in the city of Chicago so that when you are near any public library, you can find out whether you qualify in any of their computer labs. We also have a text messaging platform so that if you don't have a smartphone or an advanced phone, you can simply text your zip code to 844-877-6111.
This is an area that is probably familiar to our listeners here on the Opening Bell, because we recently did a report about how in India they did a year or 2 year long project where they text message daily, and these were the primitive text messages, so just an SMS, not to a smartphone, a message about diabetes prevention, go exercise, don't eat this, don't eat that. And they saw a huge decrease in the number of people with diabetes and the number of people who needed intervention. So this is an area where you're probably having a lot of success, aren't you?
Absolutely. So we get twice the engagement rate on our text messaging platform than we get on our web platform. And we know that there's still a tremendous need of low-income families who don't have traditional access to the internet.
So social services is a big umbrella. What kinds of specific social services are we talking about?
So in the city of Chicago, we provide more than 43 programs throughout the larger safety net. So that spans from the rental assistance programs housed under the Catholic Charities and also the primary city of Chicago, to employment assistance programs, such as those provided by the CARE program, and also utility assistance programs for people who are struggling to pay their light bill. But the program that we're doing the most with, that our organization is primarily focusing on, is the food stamp program.
Before we started our broadcast today, we were discussing your work, and it sort of blew me away when you told me about how much unused money there is every year in this program, because either people don't realize they're eligible or it just goes unused. Give us a sense of that.
So in America today, $11 billion in food stamp benefits are unclaimed each year. And this is a huge problem, because not having food, being food insecure, can affect your ability to function in society at every level. And so it's so important for us that we've been able, with the help of the USDA, publishing eligibility requirements in a format that our app can simply make accessible on web and on text messaging. We've been able to make that process more accessible.
When you say food insecure, give our listeners a sense of what you mean by that, because there's a difference, I think, in people's minds from being below the poverty line, being eligible for services, and being at this level where you describe them as food insecure. What does that mean?
So when we think about food insecurity, we're thinking about people who do not have regular access to food every day or every week. So it's all about the fact that you can't count on where your next meal is always going to come from.
So in stark reality, it is somebody going hungry.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And probably children going hungry as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of our focus has been on trying to help children and families also access food through a program that we partnered with the USDA to do, to help families access their summer meal sites during summer vacation, wherein 4 out of 5 of those children will miss out on those reduced meals that they usually get when they're in school.
People who probably have never had to ask for help don't probably understand how difficult it is to get help in a lot of cases. There are a lot of different barriers. I know that some people stand in line for a long time waiting. Give our listeners a sense of that and how hard it is.
Yes. So it can be really difficult for people who are trying to apply. So when you try to apply in the state of Illinois, the application for food stamps, for example, is about 18 pages long, and the wait times on average to apply by phone are about 58 minutes long. And so the other thing is that when you apply online, after you submit that online application, you can submit as many as 10 required documents. So it can be really intimidating, especially if you're at different offices and it's an hours upon hours of waiting. And so what our organization has focused on over the past 2 years is giving people some degree of assurance that they're actually eligible before they contend with the process. And then also, if you are likely eligible, we'll help you understand the best way to apply for your family.
Because it would seem to me that it would just be the insult upon injury to have to wait in a line for as long as 7 hours in some cases.
Correct.
Only to find out you weren't eligible.
Yes. So we've heard of the challenges that families are facing and how this is hard to maintain your dignity when you just need a little bit of help. And so it's been extremely helpful for us to be able to create an easy-to-use platform on web and text messaging for you to find out whether you qualify for assistance.
So the $11 billion that goes unused every year, do you have any idea where that goes at the end of the year? And wouldn't you like to have it?
Yeah. It would be really helpful to be able to deliver either directly to the families that need it. Mm-hmm. And also to be able to bring the area of social service delivery into the arena that we are becoming more accustomed to when we're trying to either call a cab or we're trying to get food delivered to our house. We believe that people who are the most vulnerable in society actually deserve that experience as well.
I said when I found out that number, the $11 billion, it made my heart hurt. It still mm-hmm. makes me sort of... How do you do this every day? How do you go in, and what motivates you to go in and help the people as you do every day?
So I have an awesome team mm-hmm. that I am doing this with. So my co-founder, Genevieve Nielsen, who is the chief technical officer of M Relief and is in the code base right now as we speak, she is definitely a huge support system in doing this work. We also have great support and wind at our back from partners such as the Knight Foundation and Y Combinator, who's helped us really understand advice. But I have to tell you that the thing that really propels me, wakes me up every morning, and is the thing that keeps me up late at night, is the vulnerable families that are facing tremendous challenges mm-hmm. and are resilient through those challenges because they have an organization like M Relief to help them navigate this system. And so they help us.
And do you feel like you're helping? Do you feel like you're making a difference?
Absolutely. I think the ability to be able to help 60,000 families this year connect to some form of social services around the country is one huge indicator of that success, as well as being able to now get into the rhythm of doing user surveys on a biweekly basis yeah. Has been a huge milestone for us. Contracting with the city of Chicago has been a tremendous milestone. And I know we'll be making announcements soon about other contracts we've been able to close to make this work sustainable.
Also, you're sort of understanding this SMS routine a little bit better, too, using it in different ways. This summer, for instance, you're helping people direct people to where there are meal sites if they don't happen to be eligible for summer school lunch.
Yeah, so co-founder Genevieve Nielsen really helped build our site that helps connect families who are ineligible for food stamps to their nearest summer meal site so that they know all of the different local food pantries, local food assistance sites where their children can at least just sit down and have a meal when they are hungry.
The goal is to not have any child be hungry, not have anybody be hungry. Do you feel like you're getting closer to that goal? And what kind of help do you need from us?
I think that we definitely want the larger ecosystem of Chicago foundations to support our work, to help us make this, help us connect with even more households and families. I think that's what we need. I think a world where people without Hungary is still really far away. But we know that our vision is to ensure that anyone can access the social safety net without it contributing to the already stressful circumstance of poverty. And we're in a country that has a safety net. And as long as we can make sure that that safety net isn't miles away from a family that needs it, I think that we'll be in a better position in the future.
We're also in a country, though, that wastes a lot of food every year. When you hear of people going hungry every day, especially little kids going hungry every day, it makes you think of that. It's, you know, we waste so much food. There seems to be a disconnect between that and this other problem of people going hungry. Is there some way to get everybody together to understand this problem and maybe focus that wasted food to people who need it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that there are lots of opportunities in the food insecurity space to connect. But I do know that when in talking to our families, that having something consistent that they could access when they are in a period of either unemployment and trying to get back on their feet, or, you know, we recently connected a teacher who doesn't get paid over the summers to food stamps, or a woman who's looking for a job to food stamps. Something that will really blow people's minds is that nearly three quarters, 73% of enrollees in America's public support programs are members of working families.
Yeah.
And so it's really about trying to leverage more resources that are consistent to those families and give them the opportunity to not need these benefits anymore.
These folks who go to work every day, who work very hard, put in a 40-hour week, but still don't make enough money.
Absolutely.
To make it.
Absolutely. So we're talking about working families, but we're also talking about really vulnerable people. A lot of what I was doing earlier this week is looking at the zero income population. And in fact, that population has doubled in the size of being on SNAP over the past 10 years. And when we look at that population, we're looking at people who are extremely vulnerable in the way that they have serious mental health challenges. They have severe disabilities. There's lots of challenges that those families face, and we need to be able to support a safety net that makes it easy for people who are facing those challenges to access it.
What kind of numbers are we talking about with zero-income families?
So I'd have to take a closer look, but I know that they're about 20.5% of the people who are now enrolled in SNAP.
Zero. Mm-hmm. Zero. Absolutely no income whatsoever.
Zero. Mm-hmm.
Where are you going with your organization with MRelief?
So we are building the new UI for social services. And by that, we mean bringing the 21st century technology that we're starting to become more accustomed to when we call a cab or when we connect to food delivery to the concept of social service delivery. Through the support of the Knight Foundation, one of the things that we focused a lot on is the exhaustive amount of documentation that families often have to provide when they submit their applications for programs like food stamps. And so we're creating tools that makes not only that process simple, but also free to be able to submit your documentation. Because often faxing costs money, transportation to those offices costs money, and we want to be able to eliminate that cost to $0 for families.
Is it something that you want to see done that you'll be able to do with, again, with the phone, or at your local library, or with that sort of avenue?
Correct.
Yeah.
So we've been doing user testing at libraries and at community service centers for both a web and text messaging platform for that. And again, through the support of the Knight Foundation, that's been an instrumental player in thinking about how can we bring civic technology to the people who are most vulnerable.
What would be your message to people who you're trying to reach who are, as you've described them, food insecure, zero income, who just are at wit's end with all of this? What can you tell them to help them, propel them, to get them to you or someplace where they can find help?
One, to not be ashamed that every single one of us at one point or another needs help and cannot do everything that we want to do to move ourselves forward by ourselves. And two, that there is a place that they can connect to social services, and that place is MRelief. And all they have to do is start that conversation by texting their zip code to 844-877-6111. And our team will respond and try our hardest to get you the best resource for you and your family.
Again, the number 844-877-6111. That text your zip code to that number. if one of us who's listening, like me, in their hard hearts and they want to help, how can we help you?
Well, one, you can go to emrelief.com and donate. You can click on our donate button. But two, you can volunteer. We are constantly trying to look for people that can help us reach the low-income families that need our assistance. So from developers to people who just have good hearts and are great with people and talking with people, and also to people who may know foundations that they may have a relationship with and is really thinking about funding something that's innovative and also making a difference. We are a nonprofit, and we are early stage, but 2 years in, we've made a lot of progress and hit a lot of milestones.
Congratulations again on your 2 years, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you finding us newsworthy.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:40. Welcome back to the program. We often like to showcase new technology, new apps here on the program, and politics and technology seem to be meeting today for an app that is called Zip. It's been in the news lately. Maybe you've heard about it on several TV stations.
Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton? Who's it going to be in November? A San Diego company thinks it has the answer thanks to a new smartphone app called Zip. It polled thousands of users, and you might be surprised at who came out on top.
It's really an app that's designed for people to ask any question they want.
That's a commercial that's from a TV newscast in on the West Coast about this from recently. The app again called Zip, and the founder and CEO Rick Melitti is with us today, along with the co-founder and director of brand development, Alana Markey, there with us on the phone. Good morning, and welcome to The Opening Bell to both of you.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you?
First question I have, are you guys related to Donald Trump at all?
No, not in the slightest.
No business connections.
Good or bad. I wish I had a rich uncle like that, but I don't.
Right.
No.
So you've got a lot of people scratching their head, and I know you had it out with USA Today and a couple of other folks who are saying, come on. And that's going to be my first question, I guess, too, is come on. Really, this app is going to predict who wins the election? How?
Well, basically, it's not a poll or anything like that. It's basically an app that allows people from anywhere in the country, and it's free to download, and we have users in every state, and we have hundreds of thousands of users. And in fact, we get about 1 million, almost 2 million engagements a week now. So that's a lot of questions being asked back and forth. So think of it as a social platform that's completely anonymous. So it's a really simple app. You ask a question, you put down two answers, and you send it, and all the other users get it on their stream. So you're getting different questions from 29 different categories constantly on your phone, and you're just swiping your opinions. And so because it's an opinion, we've been able to kind of predict, in a sense, what polls are going to be like 2, 3, 4 weeks from now. And, you know, while we were taking a lot of flack 4 or 5 weeks ago, you've seen several, you know, very, very, you know, reputable polls say that Trump has kind of edged up to a tie and in many cases the lead.
That is, you know, the other thing is you have to know about me is I don't like polls at all, because in this country we do elect our president based on the Electoral College, and it's a state-by-state poll situation. So if you don't do that, you're really just kind of doing nothing. But has your app been designed for politics, or is it for other polling in general, for other fun sort of surveying?
It's not really a poll. It's an opinion gathering system. So it wasn't designed for politics in any way. We have 29 different categories. In fact, relationships and dating is one of our more popular ones. Business is a very popular category. We have a lot of business owners going on there and asking questions about business, and especially about employees and personnel that they want other people's opinions on. So it's really an opinion gatherer, which is why we think we're trending ahead of polls, because they tend to be a little bit behind overall opinion, which is different than an actual vote. The other thing is the anonymity that allows people to ask and answer questions, you know, completely in a safe environment. So they're answering questions with a little bit more honesty than they might to a pollster.
And that's probably what's got pollsters all gruff and, you know, they're bristling about all of this, is there's a science behind this, and that is, you know, when you do a sample, who you're talking to, and that is important to the outcome of the survey. this is not. Anybody could say who they could make up who they are, really. So is that why they're bristling, do you think?
Lana, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I think in general, it's not so much that they're bristling. They've actually identified a problem with the polling system, because one of the issues that you run into is there's overrepresentation in some polling of particular groups just by a matter of access, people that will volunteer to participate, and also things like undereducated groups can be underserved in those polls. So the nice thing about Zip is because it's gone out nationwide and it has been accessible to everyone simply because of smartphone usage, it's given people a voice that wouldn't necessarily be considered in other polls. And it is really more like a conversation. It's become a platform where people are talking about whatever the hot topic of the moment is. They're talking about Rio. They're talking about Lochtigate. And the latest trending thing is actually Colin Kaepernick and all of the social stigma around what he's been doing. His actions and how they've influenced sports in general have been really trending on the app. So because of that, politics is definitely a hot topic, and we actually ended up with these results not expecting them and have just shared them. So any subsequent results or response we've seen from the industry and from other pollsters has just been a consequence of us going out and being like, look, this is what we're seeing.
I saw one of the ads that you, I think, posted on Vimeo about this, and you have a bunch of people in a room sort of, you know, going at it and having a discussion. It almost reminded me of this sense of the old board games using these electronic devices, and they don't have to really be in the same room to have these sort of discussions and question each other. Is that sort of your ultimate goal here with Zip?
It is. To be a platform like that is exactly our goal, because if you think about the genesis of a conversation, it's a question. So what we found is actually our app, and again, it's Zip, the question answer app, and it's on all platforms, actually ignites conversations in families. We know people, we get emails from families that tell us they come home and they start going through the questions with their kids, because we have a very safe environment because it's anonymous. We block out all cuss words. We have screeners who won't allow bigotry, won't allow racism, won't allow anything that's offensive. We also have a very intense flagging system, so users can flag other people's questions, and it ignites conversation. So in a way, we're bringing the real social aspect of conversation back by igniting it with the questions that are on the app.
And this might sound like an odd, simple question, but why do I care what other people think about a question that I have?
Well, you think about it. When you go to a restaurant or something like that and you might have a difference of opinion with someone about anything in the world, you start gathering everyone else's opinion, because when you can't prove something by fact, you have Google for that. In fact, we're kind of being called the Google of opinions. You start collecting everyone's opinions because you want everyone to side with you, because in this country, majority rules. And so therefore, when you have other people's opinions on the same side as your opinion, you feel like you've been justified or vindicated.
Yeah, and this battle between liberals and conservatives, it seems, is going to continue regardless of whether there's an app or a real poll from the Pew or Associated Press or Gallup folks, right?
Absolutely. And we don't want anyone thinking we have any affiliation with Trump. We don't. We're not a political app. We're not. We're strictly kind of communicating the stats that we're seeing, and what we're talking about is opinion. So what we are seeing are people that are more conservative in a sense of family values. Even with Kaepernick, I mean, with Kaepernick, what we're seeing is everyone most of the users on the app all agree he has every right, every constitutional right to do it, whether he wants to stand or not stand for the national anthem or for anything that he believes in. He has that right. I think what the conversation became was it respectful? And then that became the opinion or the subjective part of the conversation, which Zip is perfect for, because it's a fact he has a constitutional right to do that. That can't be disputed. But what can't be disputed is, was it respectful for an athlete that might be influencing children, that might be influencing other things, to feel that way? And we never give our opinions as the founders of the app. We just basically voice the opinion of the aggregate of the United States.
Now, I know you said this is a free app, but there's a premium part of this. Is that how you expect to make this price point and make money?
No, there's no premium. There's no premium whatsoever. That all everyone who downloads the app, it's free. Again, it's called Zip, the question answer app. It's free to download. It's free to use. We don't give you a cap on questions or a cap on answers. Actually, the monetization model is, and believe it or not, we're selling information to pollsters. We're selling information to people that want data, the people that want to know opinions. And because it's completely anonymous, we give them aggregates, so no one is ever identified on a poll. No one single person. In fact, only way we know people is by the numbers. They're assigned the number. So you might be 37629, but we don't know who you are.
You can follow at the Zip app on Twitter, and you can download at thezipapp.com. Rick Melitti, the founder, CEO, and Alana Markey, who is the co-founder and director of brand development for the Zip app. Thanks for being with us on the opening bell this morning. Good luck.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It's 5:49 now on 720 WGN. This is the opening bell.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning, 5:53 on the WGN market desk today. Dow futures already off 114 points this morning, nearly a full percent. Opening bell at 8:30 this morning. We have a long way to go. Looks like it's going to be a rough start to the business day. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are lower as well. The NASDAQ futures off by about a percent as well. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture this morning. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. A busy weekend, but a good weekend, and the weather cleared up enough that we could fly Air Orion down to Champaign for the Salute to Agriculture Day at the University of Illinois. And during the day, we honored people who have supported the College of Aces. We paid tribute to Bob Hauser, who is retiring as Dean of the College of Aces come next month. And we also had the opportunity to present 10 $1,500 scholarships to students in the College of Aces at the university from the Orion and Gloria Samuelson Scholarship Fund. Got to meet five of those young people, and believe me, they are the leaders of tomorrow. But it was a pleasure, and thanks to a lot of people who listened to us here on WGN, we enjoyed the day very much at the University of Illinois. Today will be a busy day. The Chicago Farmers kicking off their fall series of meetings, and they'll be at the Illini Club. And that will get underway at about 11:30 this morning at the Illini Center, Illinois Room on Wacker Drive. Dr. Gary Schnittke of the U of I will be there to talk about the outlook for grain farmers and for cash rents. And then, of course, today at 11 o'clock, we get the September crop report. That will probably keep trading fairly quiet until those numbers come out at 11 today. It'll be interesting to see if it'll be up or down from the numbers that we received on the first crop report back in August. And tonight I'm at Davenport, Iowa to speak at the Scott County Farm Bureau annual get-together. Look forward to seeing you there. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. As we close out the broadcast today, I know you count on me to bring you cool stuff, interesting stuff. I pulled a nugget from this past weekend's 9/11 that I think you should hear. At the 9/11 Memorial Museum on Friday afternoon, Brad Metzger, who is one of the best authors of spies. He also had a show called Finding Things, I believe it was on history, where they actually found the Ground Zero flag. The flag, you remember the iconic photograph of the firefighters raising the flag at Ground Zero. They had a national search, eventually found it. They unveiled it on Friday at the 9/11 Museum. You have to hear what Brad Meltzer said at that ceremony.
I write about heroes all the time. I study them. And I can tell only one truth about them. No one is born a hero. A need presents itself, and then heroes see that need and step forward. When you call for help, people answer. That's how this flag was raised. That's how this flag was found. When it comes to 9/11, there is nothing that can fully capture the enormity of the loss and the tragedy suffered on that day. But our duty is to tell the story of what happened here. Stories of first responders, stories of victims, stories of their families. We tell their stories and people remember. We show them these objects, these magical totems, and we transport them. And for that journey, there is no more powerful symbol than this, an American flag. When these three firefighters, Dan McWilliams, George Johnson, and Billy Eisenbrine, when they raised this flag, they were making a statement. At that moment, we needed this flag. And in that moment, they showed us the kind of story that told us something about ourselves.
Brad Meltzer at the 9/11 Museum, where the 9/11 flag is now on display for everyone to see. That's our program for today. The Steve Cochran Show is next. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning. Have a great day.